Let's begin, and the mayor can join us.
Okay, so tonight for the pre-council public side, we had been working with Mr. Scala and Mr. Thomas on, they had brought back item from the National League of Cities, racial and social equity. And so y'all had asked for an RFP, and so we have the findings. And so I'm going to ask Dick Carlin Seawood to come up and talk about the RFP that we have received.
Mr. Glasscock said this part of the pre-council discussion will be over two topics. I just want to go ahead and it'll be a review of the social and racial equity RFP and a discussion of Undesign the Red Line exhibit. The services outlined for the request for proposal was for the consultant to, one, perform a review of the city's ordinances and citywide internal policies, two, facilitate a discussion with key community members to identify what Columbia is already doing to address equity and what work still needs to be done. Three, prepare and present racial equity training for the city council and administration, one that focuses on building internal capacity to review current and future policies with an equity lens. Four, we were going to work with staff to identify performance measures and action steps to increase social and racial equity within the community. And five, provide recommendations for the city's next strategic plan. So when we started looking at the RFPs, what staff decided to do was to take a step back and look at what we are currently doing. The city has been delivering race and equity training through building inclusive communities for city council, city staff, and community members. Also, the Human Rights Commission and the Citizens Police Review Board have reviewed city's policies with an equity lens. Approximately 244 employees have voluntarily completed the Building Inclusive Communities training. The trainers are made up of our own staff. It's a 7.5-hour course. The Inclusive Communities also offers an advanced course for those who complete the introductory course. Those topics are ability, age, allyship, diversity in business, oppression, privilege, race and ethnicity, religion, sex, gender, sexual orientation, social economics, class, unconscious bias, and implicit bias. The Building Inclusive Communities also offers a diversity book club for our city employees. They also have a lending library. You can go to the next slide. The Human Rights Commission has reviewed significant portions of the city's code for ordinances and human rights equity issues. The commission conducted a systematic review of the code and provided comments for those code provisions that they reviewed. This slide highlights which parts of the code they've already looked at. You want to go to the next slide? Much like the Human Rights Commission, the Citizens Police Review Board has also begun to systematically review the police department's policies. This slide highlights the portions of the policies that they've reviewed. Thank you. As we move forward, there are local partners that can offer us some assistance for our activities. The Institute for Public Policy at the University of Missouri and the Division of Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity with the University of Missouri. They offer independent, nonpartisan public policy analysis with a wide scope of services, such as program evaluations, research policy analysis, data collection, data analysis, strategic planning, and training. We also have, within Columbia, the Inclusive Impact Institute, which offers training and education, consulting, community engagement, and leadership development. When we go into the closed session, we'll talk a little bit about the RFP that we received, and as we're negotiating the contract, what some of the thoughts staff is on how do we move forward. The next slide is on Undesign the Red Line. Undesign the Red Line was a display that was featured at the National League of Cities Conference. Redlining was introduced in the 1930s. Maps were developed to determine areas that were prime for investment, and the neighborhoods where no investment would go was outlined in red. The redlining was based almost entirely on race. What Undesign the Red Line does is it's an interactive exhibit with localized redlining, redlining maps. So they take a look at your city, they do timeline and policies and practices and investments, and it's all customized to your community. Individuals from the community will be interviewed for historic vignettes. The cost for the exhibit is $35,000 is the base cost. There's additional $3,500 to $4,000 for travel expense. We have reached out to the University of Missouri, and the Bridge, which is part of the law school, they're interested in bringing it forward to the community. Also, maybe the Department of Education. We have not moved forward with those discussions to see who's going to pay for it. But so that's where we're at with the Undesigned Red Line. We've had some positive communications with the school, but it is an expensive product. Are there any questions on Undesigned Red Line or the RFP for social inequity? Yes, sir.
As in regards to Undesigning the Red Line, could we use that as an example and build it with our own internal capacity and save money? I mean, it seems like it's an idea. I mean, I appreciate that they do it, but it's an expensive product, and I believe that we could do something very similar or parallel for a lot less money.
Yes, sir. And that's one of the things that staff is, that's the reason we reached out to the university. Because yeah. That's one of our thoughts is that this could be a great project for the university.
Uh-huh.
And it'll allow the school to do something without the city paying a huge price tag for it.
Yeah, and it might be better if we do our own kind of local version.
Correct. And we've done some of that. I think there's the historic trail that Mr. Witt was working on, and I can't think of what the name of it is.
African-American Heritage Trail.
Yes, sir. And so they've started getting that, you know, getting people to kind of talk about exactly our history. So we have started part of that project.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Just a question here. I know there was some communication with the folks that were associated with this Undesign the Red Line project, and they suggested that there was some room to negotiate cost. I'm not suggesting that we could get the cost down to where it's viable. I would love to share with the university and so on, because it's a wonderful project. I mean, it's been at the National League of Cities for a couple of years, and it's drawn quite an interest, and I think served a useful purpose. But has there been any follow-up on any of the negotiation that might bring some of those expenses down and tailor it to more of a local issue-oriented kind of, because we've done a lot of work on this, local issue-oriented kind of discussion.
We've had some general conversations. We haven't really talked about reducing the price. I think the idea was if we can get the university behind it, then that can help kind of offset some of that cost by saying that a lot of the work can be done through the university as opposed to done through the consultants for the Undesign the Red Line. Yes, sir.
Mr. Thomas.
Thank you. I recall that the RFP was developed and issued, and I seem to remember that three companies or organizations bid to deliver the project. So am I right in understanding that that's just been put on hold for the time being and that the contract hasn't been awarded to one of those?
Yes and no. So the contract has not been awarded. What I wanted to do was talk to you guys today about it, kind of get your perspective on how to move forward. We do have a preferred contractor to move forward with if we decide to move forward.
Okay.
And we will talk about that during closed session.
Okay. And I've seen the Undesign the Red Line exhibit. I think, Carl, you and I both saw it in Los Angeles just over a year ago. It was very good. I would be very interested in looking at actually bringing the National League of Cities in to do the research here, as they've done in many other cities around the country. because they have an efficient process for doing that and they have the experience. I mean, definitely work with those departments at the university and work with the city. But I think this might be a really good platform for our comprehensive plan update, which will be launching sometime in the next 12 months, I believe. We're supposed to have that comprehensive plan update completed by 2023. And some other cities have looked at racial inequities in the history of their cities as a basis for moving forward and developed some really good plans as a result. So that's just my opinion and interest in doing the Undesign the Red Line exhibit here.
Mr. Scaliger, do you have another comment? Yeah,
yes, Mr. Thomas, I think that's correct. Is my understanding of this process has been that there's some, to some degree, there has been some review of three RFPs that were submitted. One was a Kansas City firm, the one that I think the CWIT is talking about. There was a local component to this, and then there was also the NLC component, the real council that I served with. The NLC component was the most expensive. They were the most extensive submittal. The local component was the least expensive, and the KC component was somewhere in between. And some of these decisions, I think, and I stand to be corrected, but were based on the fact that it was within budget. That's not to say that we couldn't have adapted some of the requests to accommodate either the high one or the low one. And frankly, my interest in this, I have a vital interest in and an important, I think I would like to stress that regardless of what we do with this RFP, that we need to bring in a local component to be able to work on behalf of the local citizens. And they've already been working on behalf of local citizens to share in this appropriation that we've decided is reasonable to deal with the racial equity lens for our ordinances.
Any further discussion? Mr. Thomas?
Yeah, I guess I wasn't aware that the Human Rights Commission and CPRB had done this review. I don't know if that was reported to council and I missed it, but either way, would it be possible for staff to forward those reviews to us?
I would. This is Nancy. I am my staff is the staff liaison for both Human Rights and the Police Review Board. And what they've been doing is making sure that the code, they've been going through kind of chapter by chapter to make sure the code is gender neutral and is really stated in a non-discriminatory fashion. They haven't necessarily done a report that would be the type of thing that would be forwarded to council at this point. It's something that staff is using as a resource. Whenever we amend a section of the code, we go back and we take a look at that and make sure that we make those amendments as well.
That doesn't quite sound like what I recall Carl talking about, which I agreed with for the review of the code. Would you agree, Carl?
Well, I did see a draft of some of the RFPs that came back, and there was a bit of a conversation about what exceeded the budget and what was under budget, and it's kind of like the three bears here, with one is too big, one's too small, and the other is just right. But I would like to see some more conversation and at least make this available. I agree with you to some of those groups that bear on this issue. They are, after all, our eyes and ears when it comes to citizen groups to take a look at this before any final decision is made. And I hope we don't go too far down the road of making a decision and narrowing this down before we really explore the possibility as to how we can best fit this to our needs.
Anything you'd like to add, Mr. DeCar?
Everything else will be discussed in closed session.
Okay. Anything else for this portion of the meeting?
No.
So, and for those that are joining us virtually, we are going to make a motion in this room to go into closed session. Assuming it passes, we'll adjourn this portion. I'm sorry, we will not adjourn this meeting. We will close the video meeting and then reopen with the remaining three meetings. I move that the City Council of the City of Columbia, Missouri immediately go into a closed meeting in Conference Room 1C of City Hall 701 East Broadway to discuss legal actions, causes of action, or litigation involving a public governmental body and any confidential or privileged communications between a public governmental body or its representatives and its attorneys as authorized by Section 610.021, subsection 1 of the revised statutes of Missouri. Specifications for competitive bidding until either the specifications are officially approved by the public governmental body or the specifications are published for bid as authorized by Section 610.021, subsection 11 of the revised statutes of Missouri. Sealed bids and related documents until the bids are open and sealed proposals and related documents or any documents related to a negotiated contract until a contract is executed or all proposals are rejected as authorized by Section 610.021, subsection 12. RSMO, the hiring, firing, disciplining, or promoting of particular employees by a public governmental body when personal information about the employee is discussed or recorded as authorized by Section 610.021, subsection 3, RSMO in individually identifiable personnel records, performance ratings, or records pertaining to employees or applicants for employment as authorized by Section 610.021, subsection 13 of the revised statutes of Missouri, is my motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Trapp. Mr. Pitzer, how do you vote?
Yes.
Dr. Peters?
Yes.
Reese votes aye. Mr. Ruffin?
Yes.
Mr. Trapp?
Yes.
Mr. Scala?
Yes.
And Mr. Thomas?
Yes.
Having achieved 7 affirmative votes, we are in closed session.